Presidents are not kings. Those words from a federal judge yesterday, ruling against the Trump administration's claim of absolute immunity. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson ruled that White House counsel Don McGahn must testify in the impeachment inquiry. The judge said powers must be split between the branches of government to prevent tyranny. This got us thinking, how far do the rights of kings and queens extend today? The world's history guy Chris Wolf dug into this one.
Everybody loves the pomp and ceremony around the royals. This is the British coronation anthem written by Handel for George II almost 300 years ago, and still one of my favorite pieces of music. Princes and princesses fill the stories we tell our children. Here's the situation with royal families across the globe today. Emperor Naruhito of Japan is the newest monarch, exceeding just last month. He's a member of one of just 26 royal families around the world still on the job. Technically, the Pope is also the monarch of the Vatican, while Malaysia has a rotating monarchy shared among the various sultans of Malaysia's member states. So that's 28. Then there are 15 other countries besides the UK that share Queen Elizabeth as their head of state. So in all, about one in five members of the United Nations has a monarch. But the main thing to note about monarchies in 2019 is that there's a big difference between, say, Sweden and Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, royals have demonstrated recently that they are above the law.
A United Nations report says the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia should be investigated over the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The kingdom has denied
accusations. Saudi Arabia is one of just five of the world's remaining monarchies that are considered absolute. Most other kingdoms have limits. These could be legislative or judicial balances, you know, that separation of powers thing. And usually this is a result of the political need of a monarch for money and legitimacy. Or like in HBO's Game of Thrones, the need to buy off potential rivals.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. There is no middle ground.
But in the real world, bargains are struck between the masses and their monarchs. The most famous of these bargains, at least in the Anglo-Saxon world, is the Magna Carta, when King John of England conceded rights and privileges to his nobles. The French 18th century philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau dignified these bargains with the term social contract. When a king or queen violates that contract, the people have a right to overthrow them.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
An early Hollywood rendition of Patrick Henry's rhetoric to the Virginia Assembly in 1775. The United States arose in response to demands from a monarch, demands that were judged to be a breach of that contract between the king and his people. As we all know, the British king, George III, was thrown out, and the daring American experiment began. History up to that point showed that republics usually descend into tyrannies. The French Revolution ended with Napoleon declaring himself emperor. So when a US district judge says President Trump is claiming the powers of a king, that's a strong statement. But she's not alone. Some constitutional scholars have asserted that the executive privileges claimed by Trump are now greater than any claimed by King George III of England. For the world, I'm Chris Wolfe.